Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Cho, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
Okay, so welcome to our 33rd episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we're looking at the subject of mission mobilization and trying to understand it from a deeper, more comprehensive, even more holistic type perspective. So in this episode, we're excited to be exploring the critical importance of local ministry leaders in mission mobilization. So the title of this episode is A Call to Local Ministry Leaders, because we found that the secret actually of enabling local ministries and even campus ministries to effectively engage with unreached and unengaged people groups globally is actually one of leadership. It's a leadership issue. If we can help local ministries, local ministry leaders really understand and grasp and see their role related to mobilizing their local ministries, we will see the Great Commission mobilization movement really progress forward. And so the secret, again, of these of enabling local ministries in this way, it's one of leadership. It's an issue of leadership. And so pastors and local ministry leaders, and when we say pastors, we really mean pastoral leadership teams, not just one individual who's the senior pastor, right? Of course, there's that role, but then also the role of ministry leadership teams, maybe even elders, depending on how your local ministry is set up. So don't only think, when we talk about local ministry leaders, don't only think about the senior pastor role. There's actually a lot more people that when we even think about this episode that we're thinking about, spiritual leaders as a whole. And so spiritual leaders, really, they play an essential role, actually, in guiding local ministries to be envisioned and to be excited and even equipped related to the Great Commission. And the reason for this is pretty obvious. Due to the positions of leadership, kind of the role in a local church setting, they have been entrusted and they have been given a stewardship so that those local leaders who are in roles and even positions of leadership, they can be a mighty, mighty force toward the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And when you break down, and unfortunately we're not going to do this just because of time, but when you look at history, you find that history really reveals the global body of Christ. We've made our strongest kind of Great Commission headway when local churches and campus ministries who are led by leaders ablaze with vision for the Great Commission and even anointing from the Spirit, the greatest headway has happened when those ministries are becoming mobilized and equipped. And it's always through, we can't get away from this, it's always through local leaders. And so we've already seen in some previous Mission Mobilization Chats episodes that the fulfillment of the Great Commission is really kind of, we can say, the primary purpose of the body of Christ in this age. So the time period between Jesus's first coming and his second coming, the fulfillment of the Great Commission is meant to inspire the Church of Jesus Christ to say, this is the primary purpose in this age. Now, we have many other purposes related to the Church of Christ, but the big picture plan and purpose that Jesus himself has left with us is to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And if this is true, and we firmly believe that it is true, then that means the chief end of local ministry leadership, according to Ephesians 4:12, that Paul lays out when he talks about the fivefold ministry, that local ministry leadership, the chief end of it is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, Paul goes on to say, of the whole body of Christ. So if the fulfillment of the Great Commission is truly the primary purpose of the body of Christ in this age, then that means the primary purpose of leadership, of spiritual leadership in the churches is to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry related to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we see even in Paul's outlook, and we definitely see this with Jesus as well, the importance of local ministry leaders buying into this vision. Not just letting the Great Commission be over on the side somewhere and giving it lip service. All of us do that, but we're talking about something way beyond that. We're talking about local ministry leaders embodying it, modeling this vision, and then calling their whole entire ministry to be engaged in the Great Commission heartbeat that Jesus has. And so we know that it's through the guidance and through the equipping of local leaders that churches are equipped to do the work of ministry. And that's what Paul just laid out. And so what is spiritual leadership really meant to be doing in our churches? Well, we know that spiritual leadership is meant to provide a spiritual environment within the local church ministry. Leadership has that responsibility, right? To provide an environment for every member of that church, every believer in that church, to be guided, to be envisioned, to be empowered, related even to the Great Commission vision, okay? So one of the reasons local ministry leadership exists is to help mature the body of Christ, right? To teach, to preach, to see that the formation of Christ himself is happening within the life of every believer so that they can be growing in their own ministry outworking. That's what Paul seemed to be getting at when he said, leaders, your job, Ephesians 4:12, is the equipping of the saints, of them, so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that they can have Christ formed on the inside of them, and then as an outworking of that, they are activated in their roles in the Great Commission. And I think we've talked a little bit about the different roles, even in previous episodes as well. And so let me say it again, that the primary end then, or the chief end of local ministry leadership, is to equip the saints, even connected to relating that with the Great Commission. Equipping the saints in Christ, in discipleship, in spiritual maturity, so that they then can be engaged in all the different ways in the Great Commission. Now, one of the ways that leaders do this is through preaching and teaching, right? Leaders and leadership teams and elders, they're meant to equip believers through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God so that believers and even local ministries as a whole can be built up spiritually related to discipleship and related to maturity, you know? And that is actually the foundation for being activated in the Great Commission. Because if we're not walking as true disciples, if we've got a lot of immature believers in all of our churches, and that's normal, right? But we want to take them from that immaturity towards maturity so that they can start to then be equipped in following Christ accordingly and in walking in true discipleship accordingly. And then out of that spiritual discipleship then comes the activation in their roles related to the Great Commission. That I'm involved now in some tangible way in the Great Commission, even if I never leave my hometown. This is what the heartbeat of God seems to have for the body of Christ. Every believer engaging in a specific way, contributing to the Great Commission, even if they never ever leave their hometown and face-to-face engage with unreached people groups. And so let me say it again, therefore, because of all that we've already just said, therefore the primary responsibility of local ministry leaders is providing an overall atmosphere, an environment, right, where every disciple can be mobilized and even equipped for their roles and their calling in the Great Commission. And this is a part of discipleship. See, sometimes we talk about discipleship and then we say, well, when we're done with that, then we'll get on to missions. I believe that's an incorrect reading of Scripture. The Lord intends discipleship on one hand and mission mobilization and vision on the other hand to be happening simultaneously, actually. That's the heartbeat and plan that the Holy Spirit seems to have laid out. Now, I love the Holy Spirit, and I love looking at how the Holy Spirit does some of this work. And one of the Holy Spirit's primary roles that He loves to do, and this is what we as local ministry leaders are meant to be helping our members grasp and walk through, the Holy Spirit, one of His key roles is to take sinners, just like you and I, to make us disciples, to form Jesus within us, and that doesn't happen immediately, it happens over a period of time. And then as we're having Jesus formed in us, we're then conforming to the very image that we're becoming more like Him, right? In how we act, in how we speak, in the attitudes that we have, in the motives that we have. And then the Holy Spirit takes those who are being conformed now into the image of Jesus, and He says, I'm going to now equip you. I'm going to give you power from Me, from the Holy Spirit, that He first poured out at Pentecost, and that's available to all of us today. He says, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you spiritual power and authority. But it's not really just for your own sake. That spiritual power and authority is to prepare you for your role and for your ministry in the Great Commission. Now again, who's this for? Is this for just us as leaders? No. It's for every born-again disciple has a specific role that the Spirit wants to form us in all of these ways that I just highlighted, taking us as sinners, making us into disciples, forming Christ within us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ continuously and over a long period of time, equipping us with spiritual power and authority so that we can be effective in the specific role and calling that He's given each one of us in the Great Commission. Wow. So all of this is a process that is meant to be happening within our local ministries. And guess who are the key people that help to set this all in motion? We know the answer, right? It's spiritual leaders. And spiritual leaders are accountable. Our local ministry leaders are accountable actually to God for this process of being worked out. For this this calling that Paul lays out there in Ephesians 4:12, the perfecting or completing or maturing the saints for the work of the ministry. We as local ministry leaders, we're responsible before God. We're accountable to Him for how we are equipping the saints to do their work in the Great Commission. And I'm convinced that local ministries as a whole, and even local ministry leaders specifically, that are not equipping their people in this way, that are kind of putting missions over on the side somewhere, that are maybe doing all the work of the ministry themselves, very common. It's a wrong, it's an error that we as local ministry pastors and leaders, we can fall into. We can think we're the ones who are called as the pastor. We do all the work of the ministry. Paul would say, no, that's wrong. That's not a New Testament outlook. You are actually meant to equip them so that they can do the work of the ministry. So if we're not doing this, if we're not properly equipping our people, we will actually find ourselves sidelined by the Lord in this great harvest, this great plan, this redemptive purpose that He has. And I don't think any of us want to be in that place where we're sidelined by the Lord. We might still have a ministry. Our ministry is perpetuating, but we're actually not being useful in the hand of God for the big purpose that He has related to the Great Commission. We've been a little bit sidelined. And the reason why we've been sidelined by the Lord is because we didn't take up this calling as local ministry leaders the way that the Lord really intended us to walk it out. Now, this call to local ministry leaders to really be equipping our saints to do the work of the ministry, this is no easy undertaking. This is actually quite a challenging thing to move forward, to move towards. It requires many things, actually, on our part as local ministry leaders. It requires, number one, a willingness for local ministry leaders to prepare ourselves. We might say, you know, I didn't go to Bible college and learn much about missiology. That's okay. I didn't get prepared. I've never even stepped foot outside my country, but I'm a local ministry leader. That's okay. All right. So what we do need, though, is a willingness to prepare ourselves. We might not have all that knowledge. We might not have all that experience, but we need to say, I'm going to go learn as much as I can. I'm going to read books. I'm going to do online courses. Not that I'm going to go back to Bible school, nothing like that, but I'm going to try and equip myself and enable myself to grow in these different areas related to specifically the Great Commission. Another willingness that we need to have, if we're going to grow in this as local ministry leaders, is a willingness to implement new points of emphasis to see the Great Commission as a vision brought into our local ministry environments. We need to say, okay, I don't know all the information about this, and that's all right. We need to be humble enough to say, Lord, I'm entrusting you. I'm not in control. I don't know all how this Great Commission ministry stuff is going to work out, but I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to allow you, Lord, to give me, to teach me, so that I can have new points of emphasis that I'm going to bring into the life of my ministry. The reason I have this book here is because this handbook, we call it a handbook for Great Commission Ministries, this has been designed actually to empower local leaders just like you to guide and to equip their fellowships with tools and with strategies for cultivating Great Commission vision in the life of your local ministry. All right, so the subline here, effective tools to mobilize and equip local ministries for cross-cultural mission. None of us know how to do this on our own. We need help. We need aids. Okay, this is a key aid that you can download from our globalmmi.net website. Go look that up, globalmmi.net. And then under Ignite Media, you can find this handbook that looks just like this. And you can download it actually as a PDF for free. Okay, and you can go ahead and download that even today and get that. Start reading through it on your own and with your leadership teams, and I guarantee you will be equipped and helped to implement some of these tools and strategies and ideas related to the Great Commission in your ministry. Okay, and so what we're getting at here in this episode is really a progression to, yes, local ministry leaders are so crucial to influence their local ministries related to mobilizing for the Great Commission. And the reason for this is this, that the key actually to great harvest among all the nations, the key, and the key to the fulfillment of the Great Commission is the awakening and activation of local ministries. Okay, and who's leading local ministries? Well, we've already said it. That's what we're focusing on in this episode. Those who are leading local ministry are local ministry leaders and leadership teams and elders. Okay, and so we want to see that. We want to understand that. The key to the great harvest is empowering our local churches that are now starting to prioritize and emphasize the Great Commission, but under able spiritual leadership, okay? The members are not just going awry doing their own thing. No, spiritual leaders who are empowered by the Spirit, they are able, they're strong, they're good spiritual leaders. They are now able to lead their local ministries with Great Commission emphasis. And the reason this is a key to the fulfillment of the Great Commission is because for too long, our local churches have relied on understanding missions as about just a few professional missionaries. Okay, well, maybe our church sends out two families, so they're involved in their profession, they're missionaries. The rest of us, we don't really do anything. Okay, that is the normal, historical, traditional outlook. But what we failed actually to see is the biblical reality. The biblical, the New Testament idea, and it's actually in the Old Testament as well, is that every born-again disciple actually has a role in the Great Commission, and every local church is meant to be an incubator where mission vision is being stressed, where mission vision is being communicated, and it's being activated in the lives of church members themselves. Okay, so the reality, and this is not a criticism, it's just a fact. Okay, the reality is that most local churches and fellowships historically have failed actually to prioritize the Great Commission. And the reason that we failed is because of this false understanding that mission is just about a few professional missionaries, and so the rest of us can just sit back and not really be involved in any way. Okay? That is a false mentality that has been perpetuated over many generations. And so now in our churches, it has taken root where most believers don't think anything different than that false outlook. All right. So what we need to do is help our local ministries recognize that that's not the case. But the way that this is done is through local ministry leadership teams. Okay. Now, I want to highlight a few primary areas that local ministry leaders are able to serve disciples in their ministry, so under their care, related to the Great Commission, or we can say towards the Great Commission. What are primary areas that leaders can motivate disciples under their care? I want to look at four just real quickly, okay? First, the first way that local ministry leaders can serve disciples in their churches toward the Great Commission is that the local leader spiritually equips disciples. Now, this is what we usually think of when we think of shepherds and spiritual leaders, that they are spiritually equipping disciples. This is the foundation, actually. We cannot get away from this. We have to disciple our people according to the Word of God, but recognize that the Great Commission is meant to be brought into that discipleship process if we're going to disciple them accurately, if we're going to disciple them well. And so local ministries and leaders reproduce disciples and even the spiritual quality in those disciples based on their own spiritual quality, okay? So the depth of spiritual life in any ministry is set by who? Well, we know the answer to that. It's by the leader, right? It's by the leaders. So the depth of spiritual discipleship that a leader has is part of the reproduction process that the saints or the disciples or the believers in that church, that they also will grow up into, okay? So what we mean by that is that the saints or the disciples or the believers will not go further in discipleship than the spiritual leader themselves. Okay, whoa, that's a serious saying. That means that me as a spiritual leader, I am responsible for my own spiritual life so that I can grow in Christ day by day, month by month, year by year, so that I have something to give away to those who might be following me, okay, or those that I might be leading, okay? So we want to disciple them in depth. That is the first priority of local ministry leaders. Now, second, the local leader now, as they are discipling, so it's not a subsequent, it's as they're in this process of discipling the disciples or the believers in their church, they also help educate disciples in the realm of the Great Commission. Okay? Again, we've said most believers don't really understand the Great Commission, and even research has proven this, that something like 30 or 40% of believers sitting in our churches can actually tell us what the Great Commission is. Okay, very small percent. It should be way, way higher. Okay, why is it so low? Because of a lack of education in the life of our churches. So local leaders, you as local leaders in your ministries, you are meant to educate disciples who are under your care related to the Great Commission. And the main way that we do this is by helping them gain spiritual understanding, spiritual clarity based on the scriptures, okay? That the scripture reveals that the Great Commission is actually a central message in the Bible, not a side message. Okay, that is new for a lot of believers, all right? The centrality is what we call it. The centrality of the Great Commission in the Word of God. We must lead our disciples and believers that are under our care to grasp that from Genesis to Revelation, throughout this Word of God, the redemptive plan and heartbeat of God for all humanity is the primary message. That's the primary purpose on God's heart. But most believers have never recognized this. Many leaders, unfortunately, Bible-based ministry leaders, they themselves are not preaching this message because they've not seen it themselves. Okay? So that's why it's so necessary for leaders to grasp it so that then they can start to teach the believers under their care. Now the third way, so what we're looking at here is primary areas that leaders can serve disciples related to the Great Commission. The third way that they can do this is to help mobilize disciples under their care in the roles that they have in the Great Commission. So we, with GMMI here, we teach that every disciple has a role in the Great Commission, all right? And so local leaders then, they help the disciples understand what are these different roles in the Great Commission. What role do you have and do you have and do you have? It's going to be different. This disciple has a different role than this disciple, from and then a different from this disciple and that disciple, etc. Okay, so local leaders are meant to help teach about these different roles and then to help believers identify them so that they can be engaged in them, so that they can be begin to get involved in their specific role. Again, not only missionaries, not only those that go out to the front line. Now a fourth way that local ministry leaders can serve disciples related to the Great Commission is that local ministry leadership needs to develop a sending strategy, okay? So first we've seen they're spiritually equipping disciples. Second, they're helping educate disciples related to what the Word of God mainly says about the Great Commission. Third, they're helping teach about the roles in the Great Commission and then helping disciples identify those roles. Fourth, they need to put forth, so that all the disciples in their ministry understand this, a sending strategy to the unreached from their local ministry. Okay, a sending strategy. So GMMI, we like to talk about a three-level strategy for sending out message bearers or believers in our ministries that engages every member of the church in direct outreach, okay? Every member is meant to be involved in this. Again, we don't want to dichotomize and say, well, mission is just for a few, okay? It is that, but all the rest also have a specific role, okay? So I think before you can go back and look at previous episodes where we've actually broken down in detail these three levels of what we call scattering. Three levels of scattering that every local ministry, that every person can even be engaged with. But just a bit about it, this strategy actually enables many more believers to be engaged and equipped related to both the local outreach, like outreach from right around a local church. So we're not, sometimes we hear churches resisting some of this. Well, I'm focused on just our local ministry setting, okay? I'm not really focused on global or outreach that's out there, okay? Actually, every local ministry is meant to do both, all right? And that's what these three levels of scattering enable us to think about, all right? So every believer in the local ministry is called to level one scattering, which is in our immediate vicinity of your local church. The immediate relationships that every believer has in school, in their workplace, in their families, okay? That is level one scattering. Every believer meant to be involved in that, okay? There's no excuse why any believer should not be involved in that, okay? Now, levels two and level three scattering get into more specific kind of sending, okay? Levels two scattering is about going to what we call near culture people groups. So maybe within 100-mile radius of your local ministry. So you're not going across country as a missionary or across the world as a missionary, okay, in the traditional sense. All right, you're taking your family, you're taking your job, you're not getting your church to support you 100% so that you can go be a missionary. No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? You can take your job and go 100 kilometers away, finding an unreached people group. You're still working the same job, you're still doing the same career, your family is still doing the same thing, you have education for your children, but you are also now committed to planting Bible studies that become simple churches, all right? And then there's the third level of scattering, all right, which is to what we call distant culture people groups, all right? That might mean staying in your country, depending on if your country, how reached or not with the gospel your country is, or it might mean going outside the boundaries, the borders of your country. But the point is not the distance related to geography, the point is distance related to culture. Okay, so near culture means that they are a similar culture to mine. I don't have to change languages. I understand their basic customs and traditions, but they're a different people group than I am. Okay, and then near or distant culture means a completely different language, different customs, different everything. So we believe all three of these levels of scattering or levels of engaging, you could say, with these different groupings. The first is the immediate relationships around your church. You're not having to work very hard for that. The second is these near culture unreached people groups. The third is these distant culture unreached people groups. So we believe that if you as a local ministry will help your believers understand these three categories, and again, I'm not going into much depth about it. You can go back and view the previous episodes where we break this down in a lot of detail. Now, I just want to spend a few moments in closing here, highlighting again why local ministry leadership really, really matters. All right. There's many reasons why it really, really matters, but I want to just highlight one. And I want to highlight this as an encouragement. Okay, as an encouragement to us. There's a lot of negative stereotypes, we can say, that are floating around our churches related to missions. Okay, let's just be open about that. Let's be honest about that, related to the Great Commission. All right. So, and these negative stereotypes have kind of been growing. Okay, in the recent years, we could say. All right, some of this revolves around the idea that anybody involved in mission, that missions kind of equals poverty. Okay, that can be a way that we can say it. All right, that's a negative stereotype, and it's not necessarily an accurate stereotype. And so we have a lot of people saying, "Well, why would I want to be involved in missions? Because if it means that my life is going to be one of poverty." Okay, yes. When we look at it naturally like that, we go, yeah, none of us are really all that interested in that. But it's a negative stereotype, and it's a wrong outlook, actually, that isn't necessarily a biblical one. Okay. Another negative stereotype is that sometimes we hear that those that are involved in missions are kind of cast-offs from our local ministries, the ones that maybe they don't fit in quite so well in our, so we'll send them as a message bearer, as a missionary. That is completely a false outlook, and it's a dangerous outlook as well. It's not the heartbeat of Jesus. The reason I highlight these negative stereotypes, and there's many others that can be added to this list, okay. If we came up with a comprehensive list, we would have like 20 or 30, 40 different stereotypes that are emerging today. The reason I highlight this is because local ministries and local ministry leaders, you remember this whole episode is a call to local ministry leaders, we have a very important role in overcoming these wrong, these negative, these false stereotypes, okay? Local ministry leaders can help to reverse these negative stereotypes by coming in the opposite spirit, actually, and teaching the correct outlooks, teaching the biblical outlooks, teaching the reality outlooks, not some of these false outlooks or perpetuating these false outlooks even. I want to even suggest that those that are becoming involved as frontline message bearers in this sending out to near and to distant cultural unreached people groups, these ought to actually be what I like to call the best and the brightest from our local ministries. Okay. Sometimes we say, well, let's just send the small, the novice, the new believer. No, that's totally wrong. No, actually pastors, elders, you are likely going to be some of the ones that will be sent out. Some of the top-notch leaders ought to be the ones that the church is sending out and scattering to the unreached peoples, okay? We need to change our outlook and change our mentality so that our local churches are looking actually for the best and the brightest. You have a top-notch leader. executive leader in your ministry, you want to be looking at them possibly for this calling into unreached people groups. We need to change the mentalities. We need to change the negative stereotypes and come in the biblical spirit and come with the right teaching that enables our churches to recognize this is an important calling, not just over on the side somewhere. Okay? So I will close us with that. I will remind us, get this handbook. This will help you and your local ministry to really begin to emphasize and to prioritize. This is full of ideas, full of tools, full of strategies, full of teachings, full of principles that you can implement in a fairly user-friendly way into the life of your local ministry as a local ministry leader, so that you can see your ministry emphasizing the Great Commission. Amen. Let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have raised up local ministry leaders, Lord, for such a time as this, and that you are helping us to think about our role in a broader way. Lord, that you have a bigger plan for us as pastors, for us as elders, for us as leadership teams, Lord. You've entrusted these local churches to us, Lord, for the sake of something bigger than usually we've understood. You want us prioritizing the Great Commission. You want our church, even if it's a small church, you want us recognizing that our primary calling is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, even the Great Commission ministry. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to do this? We confess we are weak. We confess we cannot do this in our own strength. And so, Lord, we don't even want to try to. Instead, we want to do it your way, and that's to submit to you and to say, come and have your way, God, in us. Jesus, empower us, Lord, to lead our local ministries as Great Commission ministries. We ask you to do this. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you this week as you consider more in depth these ideas.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.